The Trump administration goes after big tech. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. The Justice Department says it's opening an investigation of major tech firms to see if companies like Facebook, Google, Apple, and Amazon are limiting competition or otherwise harming consumers. For more on this, I'm joined by Avery Gardner. She's a senior fellow at the Center for Democracy and Technology and a former antitrust lawyer at the Department of Justice. Good morning.
Good morning.
So prosecutors aren't saying they're investigating specific companies, but the entire industry. Is that unusual?
It's very unusual. It's much more typical for the antitrust division to look at a particular company or a particular deal among companies. It's really unusual for them to look at a whole group of companies like this.
So why do you think the Department of Justice is proceeding this way in this case?
I think they're getting some political pressure from the Hill and from the public to say that they're doing something to investigate these very large companies. But I also expect that they have had open investigations into several of them in the past. But what we're seeing in this new investigation is a public signal that this is important to the antitrust division and that they are going to look hard at the facts here.
Many of these companies give their products away for free and make their money in other ways. Does the nature of how these companies operate affect the way that DOJ can proceed compared to past investigations?
No, that's one of the biggest myths that the public has been repeating over and over again. It does not matter that many of these services are offered at zero price to consumers. And that's because antitrust is flexible enough to also look at dimensions of competition like quality and pace of innovation. But in addition, we have to remember that nothing in this world is free. The consumer-facing price might be zero for some of these platforms, but they are supported by advertisers. And I expect that the antitrust division is also investigating whether the prices for advertising are what we would expect in a competitive marketplace, or whether advertisers are paying too high a price. And that's because those advertising dollars come back to us in the form of prices to consumers for the goods. So if the cost for advertisers is too high, I would expect DOJ would take a very hard look at that and potentially take action if they found a problem.
Avery Gardner is a senior fellow at the Center for Democracy and Technology. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimberly.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down on that tech news in the 2 to 0.6% range, with the Dow future down 58 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down as well at 2.057%. Here in Washington today, U.S. Census Bureau Director Stephen Dillingham will be on Capitol Hill. He's scheduled to appear before a House subcommittee. The topic is the fallout from the Trump administration's now abandoned push to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census form. Another topic of concern to some lawmakers, African-American participation in the census. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
Next year, for the first time, Americans will be told to go online to fill out their census forms. Adi Tomer with the Brookings Institution says there's one problem with that.
Even though it seems like the internet is everywhere and connects to everyone, that's not in fact the case.
Up to a quarter of Americans have trouble accessing the internet, and more African Americans go without internet than whites. That's why a group of black lawmakers has launched an initiative to boost African American participation in this digital census. Democratic Representative Karen Bass of California says one effort will direct people to public internet locations.
If there is broadband, then we're going to make sure that they get access to that broadband,
which might be found in libraries. And if there's just no broadband to be had, people will be encouraged to go the old-fashioned route.
You know, for paper forms.
About 2% of African Americans were not counted in 2010. Bass says undercounting results in congressional underrepresentation and less federal funding for government programs. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Boeing is set to release its second quarter earnings figures ahead of the U.S. market open. Analysts will be poring over the numbers closely to see the impact of the continued grounding of the company's 737 MAX jet. The plane builder is setting aside $5 billion to compensate its customers, the airlines. Boeing is still working on a fix to the plane's flight control software after two fatal crashes less than 5 months apart. The company already announced a fund to compensate the families of those killed. Marketplace's Jack Stewart looks at the mounting effects the grounding is having on Boeing and the airlines.
Boeing's been under intense scrutiny since its 737 MAX narrowbody jet was grounded worldwide in March. Dawna Rhodes is a professor of business at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
It is still very much of an ongoing problem for Boeing. In a lot of ways, not only in terms of deliveries, but in terms of a lot of their customers and what their customers are going to have to do here in the near-term future.
United has announced it's buying 19 used, slightly older versions of the 737 to add capacity. But between them, United, Southwest, and American have cancelled several hundred flights a day. Samuel Engel leads the aviation practice at consulting firm ICF. He says it's actually not all bad news for the airlines. Ticket prices have gone up.
The grounding of the MAX has actually tightened capacity a little bit and improved the pricing overall in the industry, improved from the airline's perspective, not the consumer's perspective.
It's not like airlines can just take their plane orders elsewhere. Airbus already has a backlog of orders for its A320, the natural competitor. Chad Oland at the RAND Corporation says countries like Japan and Russia want to build a plane to sell in this market, but the most realistic competition could come from China's state-owned COMAC.
They are working on what's called the C919, which should be a narrow-body, single-aisle competitor, but that is not due on the market for at least 5 years.
So Boeing's unlikely to lose many customers right now. However, Dawna Rhodes at Embry-Riddle says future buyers will use the problems with the 737 MAX to their advantage.
That's going to give them leverage when they negotiate. You know, if I'm an airline and Boeing's sitting there trying to sell me, I'm going, well, you know, you had this problem.
A problem that Boeing is working to move on from. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.